Perek Dalet. Ve'ulam. However, kolanal. Everything we've discussed until now about all the different types of fasting, and then last week we learned about the fact that it is for this reason that Elik Yidin give away a ton of money to tzedakah, because tzedakah is the most effective way of a person being able to atone. I'm using that word deliberately, because we're not dealing with tshuva per se. Atonement without tshuva can't happen. So, money, tzedakah, takes on the role of the fasting, which is for the atonement component. Now we're going to get back into tshuva. That's where we begin here, Perek Dalet. Ve'ulam kolanal hu ligam ligmor hakapara. Everything we've discussed until now is to be able to conclude the atonement umiru kanefesh la'Hashem, and the cleansing of the soul towards Hashem. Remember last week he used the word that a person should be mirutza, a person should be wanted, his avoda should be wanted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Achara tshuva, k'may shekasabnu le'el ma'gemara perakam adizvachim, like we discussed last week about atonement from the first chapter in Tractate Zvachim. The oila, that the carbon oila is doirin, who it is a gift, la'acha shiritza praklit, after he atoned, after he appeased the praklit, then he could give a gift to become mirutza. Omnam, however, haschalas mitzvahs hatshuva, when we get back, however, to the beginning, meaning up until now we've been discussing what the goal is to get back to Hashem's good graces. But how do we start the process of tshuva? V'ikara, its main focus is loshuv ad Hashem, is to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'emes u'b'leiv shalem, in truth and with a whole heart. So therefore, in order to figure out what these terms mean, how does one return to Hashem, and what does the word tshuva mean? Therefore, ha'hechrich levar heitev v'archovas habir, we are forced to explain this well, in an expanded form. Be'ekdim, in order to do this, we need to first discuss Ma'ashiksiv b'zayir HaKadosh b'bi'er milas tshuva al derech ha'soyd. We can understand first what the Zohar, authored by Reb Shimon bar Yochai, the great Tana, and this is the original text of the Soyd of Kabbalah, and he's going to explain to us what the very word tshuva means. Says the Zohar as follows, that the word tshuva needs to be broken up into two components. First one is tashuv hey, says the Zohar, return the hey. Which hey? Hey tato, the second, the lower hey, the second hey, is tshuva tato. That's a person who does a lower form of tshuva. Says, continues the Zohar, hey ilah, the first hey, and we'll discuss in a moment what these heys are, the first hey is tshuva ilah, that is a form of higher tshuva. Now, as we spell the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its form, and he's going to obviously elaborate on this for going forward, Hashem's name is spelled Yud and then Hey and then Vav and then Hey. So Hashem's name has two Heys in it. So if a person is able to return the second Hey, that's a lower form of tshuva. If he's able to return the higher, the first Hey, that's a higher form of tshuva. Now, obviously, we need to discuss what in the world does these Heys have anything to do with our Averis and doing tshuva. That's what he's going to explain. What's more, there's even a more bizarre thing that in the Zohar, in several places, it says, "She'ein tshuva mayalis lepagim b'risai umaytizar levatola." The Zohar writes that tshuva does not work for someone who corrupts his bris with illicit relations, or with maytizar levatola, with someone who is who masturbates, who spills seed unnecessarily. Says the Baal Tanya, "V'hu davar tamuamai." This is a tremendous wonder. Shein l'chol davar amid b'fnei tshuva. There is nothing that stands before tshuva. How could you say that tshuva doesn't work for certain sins? if tshuva works, va'afilu avayda zara v'gilarayis v'chulu, if tshuva works for the three sins for which a person must give their life, well, how much more so must tshuva work for lesser sins, such as the ones he mentioned here that the Zohar says tshuva doesn't work for? So how can that be? Upirish. Ooh, I don't know what that is. No. Shekavanas ha-Zohar. One of the commentaries writes that the intent of the Zohar is she'en mayeles tshuva tata, that the lower form of tshuva that he discussed here, that form of tshuva doesn't work. I need his keys. Don't let him leave without his, with the keys. That form of tshuva doesn't work for these sins. But the higher form of tshuva, that certainly works for these, even for these averus. Okay? So he now answered, basically he answered his question already. He says, when it says that tshuva doesn't work, it's referring to the lower form of tshuva. Clearly, if a person does the higher desired form of tshuva, that works for every avera. Just see if he says what that is. Here it is. Reishis Chachma. Reishis Chachma is one of the classic frightening Musa Svarim. Now, Ezini Lovin Zayis Ma'ad Mizeyer, we need to understand what in the world we're talking about here, at least a little bit. Is Tzorich Lahakdim. We need to introduce Mashem Avoyer Mehakosuf, that which is explained in the Psukim, Umedivre Razal, and from the words of our sages, Inyan Hakores. We need to understand the concept of Kares, and we know that Kares is where a person does certain averes, for instance, eating Chometz on Pesach or eating on Yom Kippur, has the punishment of Kares, Umisa Bidei Shemayim, or death by heaven. So he explains, what do these two things mean? If a person does an avera which brings about it kares, hayimeis mamish kaidim chamishim shana, then a person would literally die before they're 50. Ubimisa b'dei shamayim, and if he does an avera which causes death by heaven, in contrast to death through Beis Din, then hayimeis mamish kaidim Shishim Shana. Then the person dies before they're 60, and he gives two examples, two biblical examples. One is Kehananya ben Azor Hanavi Yirmiyah. This is one figure in the prophet Yirmiyah. Ulepamim, and what's more, he says Gam b'misa b'nei shamayim, even by death by heaven, Nifrayin la'alter. There's sometimes that the person is immediately taken. We find by Yehuda's children, Erva Einan, who didn't want their wives to become pregnant, and therefore they did not allow the seed to implant itself, and they were Moitzizero Levatola, and they were killed on the spot. Isvare Nimtzu says about Tanya, what do you mean? This doesn't mean it doesn't stand up to scientific fact. Because we find in every generation we find many people who are culpable of kares umises, and they're culpable by death by heaven, and they're living out their full lives into their 90s, and not only that, they're having a good time. So what's going on here? What gives? Four lines from the bottom. Yuvan al pi mashiksiv. Here we're getting in now to the meat and potatoes of what is the effect, what do we corrupt when we do an avera? What happens? What are the mechanics? So we're on daf, we're on page 186, four lines from the bottom. Achoinin yuvan al pi mashiksiv. We can understand this, what it says in the Torah, ki chelik Hashem amoy. Hashem's nation are a portion of God. And were it not for the fact that this is written in the Torah, it would seem to be heresy. What do you mean? How can God be apportioned? And what does this mean? Chelek mishem havaye baruchu. What this means is that the soul of the Jew is a distribution, a component of Hashem's name, particularly this name of Yod and then Hey and then Vav and then Hey, Kedichsiv. Where is the source for this idea? Because the Torah says in Bereishis,
Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. And Hashem blew into Adam's nostrils a living soul. Says the Zohar, it's actually a Sefer HaKonah, precedes the Zohar, Uman de nofach mitoichoy nofach. One who blows deep from within themselves. V'chulu. So now, this presents a challenge, because we know that Hashem doesn't have a body. If he doesn't have a body, he's not blowing. It's v'af shein le'dumos ha'guv v'chulu chas v'shalom. Even though the Rabbi Yerushalayim has no image or a body, achdiv v'detoyer k'loshim b'nei adam. Top of tzadik dalet. The Torah speaks the way humans understand. And the Torah is trying to draw our attention to a critical difference between the soul of the Jew and any other creation in the world. This is fundam yisoidi yisoidis. What is the distinction between the neshama of a Jew and the rest of creation? Ki kemoish yesh hefrish vehevdel gadol. Just as there is a huge distinction, be'adam atachten aderech mashal, when we're dealing with a human being, bein ha'hevel shiyotze mipiv b'diburoi, between the vapor that emanates from his mouth when he speaks, le'hevel ha'yotze ayidei neficha, there's a huge distinction between speaking vapor and blowing vapor. What's the difference? When a person speaks, Meluvish boy, Koyach v'chius ma'at mizeyah. So contained in his speech is etvos, a little bit of life. V'hubchinis chitzoinis minefesh hachaya shebikirbay. Speech is an external expression of one's soul. So you can go on and speak virtually endlessly. Anybody who knows my sisters knows that this is true. Avo biyoitze bikoyach hanoifeach mitoichoy. But a person who wants to sit, for instance, and blow balloons, dimitoichoy nofach, and he's blowing from deep within himself, mulavish bikoyach bichius pnimius. There is a far greater energy that emanates in the breath of blowing, it's a much deeper blow than is that which comes out when a person speaks. And as a result, you can speak for hours and hours. You can only blow for moments. So the Torah is trying to draw our attention to this distinction. So too must we understand in the way of a parable, Hamavdil Avdelos Lankates, with separations, obviously, because we're dealing with the Rebbeinu Shalom, we're not dealing with human beings. But nonetheless, the Torah is trying to draw a huge distinction between the rest of creation, which is created with speech, and the neshama of a Jew, which is created with neficha, with blowing. Yesh hefrush otzum mi'oid l'maylo. There is an awesome distinction above. Bein kol tzeva shemayim, between all the heavenly beings, v'afil ha'malachim, and even the great angels. She nivru mi'ayin li'yesh, they are created out of nothing. V'chayim v'kayomim, and they exist, and they are sustained with kines chitzonius hachius, from an external life source. V'ashefa shemashpia in tzoyim baruch hu, and the bounty, the energy flow that comes forth from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'hachia yitoy lomais, to sustain the worlds. This is referred to throughout scriptures as the ruach, the spirit that emanates from his mouth. Like we find in the pasuk in Tehillim, every day in davening, and with the wind that emanates from his mouth, kol tzivom, he sustains everything in the world. But v'hu b'chinas chios. This is the amount of energy that emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he speaks. I'm not saying past tense, because when we get to Shari Yichud V'Amunah, we'll see that none of this is past tense. This is all present tense. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, the 10 utterances of creation, on an ongoing basis, they are the spoken word. And the spoken word is coming to tell us that
vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is a level of chitzonius. It is coming from an external force. Skip the parentheses. Now, we're drawing a contrast between all of creation, which is the spoken word, ubein nishmas ha'adam, and draw a distinction between that and the soul of man, which is drawn at its outset. And notice the emphasis on tchila, because later we're going to see that even the neshama goes through a metamorphosis later on in the process, and it also goes through dibur. But at its outset, in its origin, it is mepchines pnimius achios. It comes from the deepest level of energy. And that's why the Torah specifically uses this language, not by yidaber, not spoken word, not by yoimer, not a mimer, but by yipach. It's a blow. And then from there, the achakach, and only after that, yorda b'seser hamadrega gamkei. The neshama also goes down to a lower level. Al yidei b'chinas ha'osiyos. He answers here a magnificent answer to a fundamental question. What are you saying? That man is created with vayipach. The Torah clearly says one of the 10 utterances. Ma'ase Adam, let us make man. So of that too. So how could you claim that man is any different if it's explicitly written in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Ma'ase Adam? So he says, no, that requirement for Nasa Adam is Kideli Slavish Bigur by the Mazat Takhta, an unbelievable answer. He says, the Nishama is Taka created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Nefikha, through an act of deep blowing. But in order to get the Nishama to bond with the physical body which is very much akin and similar to everything else in the physical world, so that requires a mimer of Nasa Adam, which allows the bond to take place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and between the neshama of Nefikha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the physical body. And he explains, parenthetically speaking, he doesn't put it in parentheses, Olechei Nikra Malachim Mishem Elikim. This is why we find so many times that the angels are referred to with the name Elikim Bakosov in the Psukim. Kameshiksiv, Kyashem Elikim, Elikim, Elikim. He is the God of gods. Doesn't mean God of gods, he's the God of the angels. Or, Hoyidul Elikim, Elikim. Or, Vayivayubne Elikim, Nisiyatze. All these refer to angels and they call them Elikim. Why would we possibly use that term? So he explains the fish yinikas chiyusam himipkina chitzoinius shupkinis ha'isius levad. Because if the pasuk is trying to draw our attention that the source of the life force of the angels comes from this external creation, which are a creation which stems from letters, from the spoken word. V'shem Elikim, and it's also to draw our attention to the fact that the name Elikim hu b'china chitzonius l'gav Hashem Havaya Baruch Hu, compared to the name of Havaya, the name Elikim is a much more external name. So he's now introducing us to another concept, and that is that the name of Yud and then Hey and then Vav and then Hey is a deeper name than is the name Elikim. Amol nishmas ha'adam, but the soul of man, shimibchin is pnimius hachiyus, hu chelek shem havaya baruch hu. The neshama of man is from this internal, most exalted, highest point of chiyus, which is a portion of the name of havaya. Now, Kishem Havayam Moira Pnimius Achius. Because this name should always direct our attention to this deeper level of life force, Shilamaila Maila Mipkinis Aisiyas, which is far above and beyond any form of letters. Okay, now let's take it. We're peeling an onion here. Huh? Which one?
So now he's saying that's the explanation in the pasuk of Chedek Hashem Amay, that it means is that the neshama comes from this name of Abaye. That now he's going back to explain the pasuk that he mentioned on the bottom of 186. Now let's go down to the next level of the onion. Ubir inyan, meaning why do we care if our neshamas are from Havaya or from Elikim? Here's the explanation. Ubir inyan kinoida memaimer Eliyo. There's a section of the Zohar called Pasuk Eliyo that Eliyo Navi taught Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and Eliyo says Antu Adafikas Eset Tikunin. You are the one who emanated 10 emanations. We clean in lahayin eses sfira, and we call them the 10 sfiras. Le'an hoga behind almin setimin, in order that you are able to operate your world. And they are setimin dechol setimin. And then he goes on to say that even these 10 emanations are not Hashem himself, but they are creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through which he operates his world. Continues Eliyahu, and Chakim, you are wise. We just turned the page to 188. But not with a pinpointed, limited wisdom. And Mevin, you understand. But not a human understand. Now, we must understand that all the 10 spheres are included and alluded to in this name of Hashem. How? Because the name of Hashem starts with a yud. Ki a yud shibchinis nikuda levad, a yud in the Hebrew alphabet, in any sefer Torah, any kisvei kodesh, starts with a pintle, it's a drop of ink. And therefore, miramezes lechachmasa yizbarach, this points to, and the Zohar says this in many places, that yud is chachma, Rashi quotes in Yechomesh, she bebchines helem vehester, because it is something which is totally concealed, koidem shabal lebchines yisfashtis, the yud is totally wrapped up. Everything is wrapped up in the tiny yud before it comes to any kind of revelation or expansion. Skip the parentheses. Then it starts with the emanation, the expression of Chachma. From there, the letter He expands in two directions. It expands in width and in length. And that is the expansion, Vigilui HaSogan, the revelation of this understanding, Ve'avona, La'alm and Steeman, to the worlds which are at this point completely concealed. Those are Nechlelas V'Nemezes Bo'is He. So the first revelation, the first place where there is any exposure of the world itself, and certainly the godliness in the world, is in the first He of Hashem's name. Sheyesh lo b'chinas hispashtus, because the letter He has breath and width, l'reichiv, hamoyer meramez al lachovas habir v'avona. That points to the expansion of depth and understanding. But v'gam lo'erich, it has length also, hamoyer b'chinas hamshach v'ashpom v'lamayla l'mata l'almetzdimen. The length of the letter He speaks to the fact that it is withdrawn and is able to come down into the world. So that's the first two letters, are total concealment and then exposure. V'yach ekal k'shinim shechas hamshach v'ashpazu yoyse l'mata l'almetzdimen. So at that point, it's in worlds which are totally concealed. But then it's drawn into the revealed worlds, our worlds. So that's shaped like a letter Vav. A letter Vav is a pipeline. Ukumaya Adam, just like a human being. He gets a spark. He gets an idea. It's totally concealed. It's just a spark in his mind. Then the person is able to take that spark, and in his mind, he's able to work it out, and he comes up with an idea. But that idea is still totally concealed in his head. Well, now he wants to share the idea with somebody else. So at that point, he's mamshich the idea, and the idea, it comes through him to others. Like a person who wants to reveal his wisdom to others, but through speech. This point of exposure comes out in the two final letters of Hashem's name, in the Vav and the Hey, and he explains why. Because the letter Vav, as he said earlier, is like a pipeline. It's that which draws from above to below. So not only is it because it's a pipeline, but the letter 6, which is the gematria above, is also tremendously significant because there are 6 midos through which Hashem relates to his world, through which Hashem reveals himself to the world. Sheva Pasuk, this is in the Pasuk again that we say every day in Davening, Lacha Hashem Agdudo V'Agmura V'Tiferes V'Netzach V'Yahoid. Add until we come to the last part of the Pasuk, where we say again Hashem's name, Lacha Hashem HaMamlacha, but V'lo Yad Bichlal, that's already the 7th Midah, Malchus, that's not included in the 6th of the Vav. Ki Midas Malchus Yisbar Nikra B'Shem Divar Hashem K'mo Shiksiv, the midah of Malchus of Hashem is separate. That's called the word of Hashem, because we find that the midah of Malchus, the king rules by his word. And that final midah of Malchus of Hashem's kingdom is the final letter of the letter Hey, which is going to be very important to the concept of tshuva, because that's where the corruption takes place. Kipnimius umikar hadibur hu hahevel ha'elim min alev. Why is Malchus and the letter Hey referred to as dibur, as speech? So he gives two reasons. First of all, the source of all speech is vapor that comes up from deep within the person. That's one, umischalik lehematzayis hapeh, and it is then divided into the 5 tools of, it's referred to in Svarim as aleph ches hey ayin, me'agorin. There are certain letters that come from the throat, certain letters that come from the palate, certain letters that come from the lips. There are 5 tools of the mouth, hematzayis hapeh, the teeth, the tongue, the lips, the throat, and the palate. Those are called the Hei Mitzoyes HaPeh, the 5 tools that take the vapor and cut it up into words. So therefore, that's one reason that it's called speech, is the letter Hei, because it's the 5 tools of the mouth that allow speech to take place. But, Vigam Havaras HaHei Yivkenes HaVelavad, what's even equally significant is that when the vapor of speech comes up from the throat, it's formless. It comes up as vapor, and that is a hey. A hey is a formless letter. She quotes the Zohar there that says, it is a letter which is light, that has nothing, it has no mamashas, it has nothing to it. It's the only letter which is just the vapor itself that emanates from deep within a person. Again, even though we're not allowed to attribute any of these things because Hashem has no body. If hey for the human being is the method of speech, then it too can become that which is referred to as Malchus above. Because after all, Hashem spoke in word, as they're written to us in the Torah, also are divided into 22 letters that are the tools that create those letters with the Chelkei Mitzvos. Uben, Nibakola Yitzur. After all, you can't have letters without the spoken word. And to have the spoken word, it requires these 5 tools. back up to the top of Tzadikei, after the parentheses. Ve'kach ha'mah mishal derech marshal, so must we understand in the way of a parable. Hamav de Lavdolus Lenkates, dividing numerous times between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Menishmas Ha'adam, and the soul of a person. Shibchinis nefesh alikis. After all, we just said that the neshama stems from the godly soul, the mitoyche nafach, because it was blown into us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is yeshba b'chinis seichel ha'nelam. So now let's compare us to creation. So the human being has within him, it starts with a hidden intellect. Hamer Rebizba is Yud. That's the first Yud of our neshama. We have the power to take that which is in our letter Yud, in our neshama, and reveal it. Lahavin ulahaskil, to contemplate, to understand, to grasp. The truth of Hashem's existence. In his greatness. Each person according to the power and the nature of our intellect, Hashem has given us the tools to be able to take ideas, to contemplate, to think about them, and to come to a deeper understanding of godliness. According to the broadness of our intellect and our understanding. And furthermore, ukefi ashemamik sichloi, to the degree that we're willing to allow our minds in depth to contemplate. Umar chibdalta yubinosai, to broaden our understanding. To actually think about Hashem is to that degree that we're allowing these ideas to broaden and to become deeper in our minds, as I'm in a message, be nosebais, hey. So we then take our personal letter Yud and we broaden it in our hey. Again, going back to the way he explained the hey before in creation, which is the, it has both breadth and length, is vigam oirach hamiram shacham alamayla lamato. That means, what is the significance of the length in the human existence? Lo hayled mebinasa eviz benenusa bigdulas Hashem ahava v'yira v'tol deseyim. What's required, what the length of the hay in the human experience is, to take the concepts of godliness, and by broadening them first in the width, by taking them and working them through and trying to understand them, the length is to turn them into emotional reality, to give birth through this contemplation to love and to awe, v'tol deseyim, and all their offshoots. B'moichai, firstly, in the one's mind. V'talumas libay, and in the emotions. V'yachach v'pchenes hiskalos libay, and then even to bring them to open, revealed emotion. And by doing this process, by taking the letter Yud within our neshama, and utilizing it to broaden it and to deepen it and to turn it into living godly experience, this will draw the true service in the toil, in the study of Torah, and the fulfillment of Hashem's commandments, whether it is in voice or speech, a maisa or action. And that is Hen Oisius Vav Hey. Those are going to be the final two letters of Vav Hey, are going to be the fulfillment of that contemplation, the fulfillment of that emotion that results from the contemplation in full action. Those are the letters, the final letters of Vav Hey. Vigam Ayizboininus Lahovin Alahaskul Bamitosa Vigdulos Yizbarach. We should understand that even the original contemplation to try to grasp Hashem's truth and His greatness, nimshcha gam kein me'at Torah, that too must come through Torah. D'araisa mechachma nafka, because after all, that little letter Yud is our embracing and grasping Torah ideas. Yibkinis Yud shel Shem Havaya. So when a person takes a Torah idea, any Torah idea, and contemplates and works it through, that is taking that original encapsulated chachma, that wisdom, and broadening it and turning it into emotional reality, which in turn must result in Vavhei, which is the actual fulfillment of the study of Torah and the fulfillment of Kiyum HaMitzvos. So we get a little glimpse thus far into now how it is that if we don't follow this order, and God forbid when we actually violate Hashem's will, as we will soon see, that involves the corruption of Hashem's name, because then we're not following the correct order of these things, and we end up separating the actual fulfillment from their sources, and tshuva involves returning these letters to their correct stage.